is a big idea, a new world order.
Your world is not what it seems. Alex Tansari, Outside the Box.
Another good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's July 3rd, 2009, one day until the so-called 4th of July. Give us a call at 866-841-1065. Share with me, share with the audience, how you're going to celebrate the so-called Day of Independence. It's just ridiculous. But if you are having fun, if you are out there camping, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I can tell you here in Portland, we're certainly undergoing some sort of a major heat wave. It's got to be around 90 or so. But the good news is, not that that's bad news, but intense temperatures, it's a lot for some people. Don't have the blood for it. The good news is we're not having a whole lot of chemtrail activity right now. The skies are clear. It's really nice out. So if you do have the opportunity to get out and about, et cetera, so on and so forth, I recommend you do so. Helen Brown, will be with us. I believe I said Ellen Brown. Yes, from Southern California. She'll be with us at about 1:15. And what we'll be discussing is, the economy, first of all. But she lives in Southern California. So we'll talk a little bit more about, specifically, what is going on in California. Arnold Schwarzenegger has declared a fiscal emergency. This isn't anything new. What we're going to be doing is going over some updates. Headlines now saying the news that they're bracing for impact. Brace for impact. Get your helmet on. That, you know, basically the money is running out. And there's not a whole lot of time left before, you know, welfare is cut off for a whole lot of people that are dependent on those resources for their livelihood. Now, it doesn't mean that people have to go through that kind of pain, but a lot of people are psychologically dependent on those particular resources that are allocated to people in the poverty bracket. But now the poverty bracket, that group, the lower class, is growing by design. Middle class is being destroyed. All of a sudden, we are now seeing the dismantling of the welfare state. And I've always been disturbed by the mentality of entitlement. The government must do for me. Government must take care of me in this manner and that manner. And in so many facets of our society, it has resulted in many negative consequences where the society as a whole becomes weaker instead of stronger, more dependent instead of independent. So when we come back from the break, coming up here in a couple minutes, we'll go over some latest developments in terms of California. We'll have Ellen Brown on at about 1:15, 1:18, whatever, when we come back from the other break. And we'll go over some other headlines as well. We just found another piece of information pertaining to North Korea. Kim Jong-il's son just had a secret meeting with the CCP. We've also got some news about the mercenary corporation, formerly known as Blackwater, which I think is now just called X, or it's spelled XE. And they are also involved with trafficking of children. So we'll talk about a couple different things and take your phone calls right after this. Stay with me.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
I'm not afraid to
So really, the headline is kind of like a rerun of what we saw last week. This is the headline from Press.TV. Schwarzenegger declares fiscal emergency. The state has a $24 billion gap in their budget. And the emergency means the state's going to start issuing IOUs. Some of you remember me talking about 6 months ago, them talking about issuing IOUs for people filing their state tax refunds. So they're talking about doing this as soon as Wednesday. Now, I suppose that would be Wednesday of next week. This is how soon they're expecting this. Schwarzenegger also ordered state workers to take a third unpaid day of leave every month to help save the largest state in the U.S. some $1 billion annually. It also came out in another report that the federal government has denied Schwarzenegger's request for a federal bailout of the state. So you see how this works. It's painfully obvious. The bankers control the politicians. They get to loot our economy. They get to ask for bailouts. They get trillions, not billions. They get trillions. That's T as in traitors. T as in tyranny. T as in taken for a wild ride to the dark side financially. So that's where they've taken us, but they can't help a state out. You start looking at Schwarzenegger, though. You start looking at his background. You start looking at his financial ties to interesting entities. You look at his friendships. People he has in his inner circle, Warren Buffett. Look at his relationship to Daddy Bush, even. And Schwarzenegger has clearly been positioned where he is today to destabilize the state of California to help create the crisis. And don't worry, they'll have a solution ready for you in the very near future. They'll announce it. Troops on the streets to deal with the rise in crime, etc. And you've heard all the rest. Nothing new here, so... things are moving really, really quickly. On the topic of things moving really, really quickly, that's where I am energetically at the moment, because now I'm going to segue, change gears, and cover another very interesting report before I forget to cover it. We talk about Russia doing war games with China. Well, here's another one here. A lot of activity near Georgia, where Russia has begun war games. Russia has mobilized thousands of troops in the North Caucasus in sweeping war games aimed at warning foes that its military remains alert since fighting a war with Georgia in the area last year. Georgia swiftly condemned the exercises as, quote, dangerous, and accused Moscow of seeking to stoke tensions in the region. Georgia is a puppet government of Israel and the United States. Israel and the United States gave Georgia literally hundreds of billions of dollars to commit genocide in South Ossetia, where we brought them, as in we, not you and me, but the people that control our government, Russia. We bought the Russians their 9/11. And so all this is building. But there's no point in being afraid. That's where they want to take you. They want to take you on that type of a ride. That's not the purpose of being aware of this stuff. Ellen Brown will be able to articulate in a better way than I can some of the complex things taking place within the economy right now, some of the things that we need to be aware of, definitely some serious information. So we're going to be talking with her in a couple moments. In another headline, as I mentioned earlier, Kim Jong-il's son is going to be the leader of North Korea when his father passes away. They're planning tomorrow, allegedly, to fire a missile over or near Hawaii. That may or may not happen. This could be fear and propaganda, deliberately put out there in the mainstream media, a staged, managed event to scare us, lower our consciousness, and take our focus away from what we really ought to be looking at. And so, be aware of some of these stories that we're reading. If you focus on some things too much, if I focus on some things too much, we could be overlooking the things taking place that are hidden in plain sight. And so, this is a secret meeting, though, back to North Korea, that's taking place between the sun and the leadership of the CCP. The North Koreans are being groomed, socially engineered, though, to be the enemies of America in the very near future. So this is alarming. I think this actually is a situation we need to be looking at more and more and analyzing the real power structure of North Korea and how they were set up to be what they are today. Knowing Rumsfeld gave them the weapons in 2000, knowing during the Clinton administration in 1994 we gave them light water nuclear reactors as well, it's highly disturbing. So you see how the North Koreans are being set up with their own specific custom-tailored propaganda to hate the U.S., and the Russians have it as well as China. Not to say that we're angels, we're not. The military, U.S. military, and what they're involved in around the world. But they're still setting the stage, because if you think it's just going to be the government, the American government, that takes the brunt of this anger and hate towards this country, you're wrong. It's people like you. It's people like me. It's Americans. Now, I guess this gets into another philosophical debate. Are we guilty of anything? I mean, we're not ourselves pulling the trigger. We're not ourselves dropping the bombs. But silence is acceptance. If you keep your mouth shut when little kids are getting raped, if you keep your mouth shut when some of the stuff's going on, from a philosophical point of view, you might want to take a closer look at this. Are we actually responsible? And my honest opinion is yes. Collectively, we are. That's why this is very, very bad. The things that have been done in our name, the things that other people in other countries know about what our military is doing, yet people here at home, women here at home, men here at home, do not have the emotional maturity to see the obvious war crimes that are admitted. I mean, openly admitted. So here's this report. North Koreans going hungry as funds dry up, according to a UN agency. And the sanctions placed on North Korea are only going to increase the hunger problem in North Korea. The people suffer as opposed to the leadership. Yet the leadership continues to ironically get funding for their nuclear program over the years and technology. It's very strange. Well, we'll talk about more of those things in hour two and a host of other issues. Ellen Brown from California is with us. We'll talk to her right after this brief commercial break. Stay with me.
Pull back the curtain to expose the matrix on Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder and Joel Bissom, weekdays at 7 p.m. on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network.
My child arrived just the other day. He came through the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. We're gonna have a good time then.
Well, I'm glad that Ellen Brown is with us today. She has developed the research skills as an attorney practicing civil litigation in Los Angeles. In her book, Web of Debt, I actually have a copy of that. I flipped through it. It's a great book. It's one of her most recent books. She turns those skills to an analysis of the Federal Reserve and the Money Trust. So you're going to want to check that out. She's also written about 11 books. 11 other books, including the best-selling Nature's Pharmacy. And so she's covering a lot of different issues. Helen, thanks for coming on. Ellen, rather.
Oh, thanks for having me, Alex.
And I haven't looked too deeply at some of the updates with the economy and the Federal Reserve. Last I checked, about a week and a half ago, they were getting new regulatory power. Or I guess that was two weeks ago, over the U.S. government. The same thing is happening in England. The Bank of England. Where would you like to start? And then later we'll get into some of your articles about some of the solutions or ways that we ought, footsteps that we ought to be taking in the right direction.
Well, my two latest articles were on two different developments recently. One is the Financial Stability Board, which you probably would never have heard of. It's buried in that 89-page report that from the Obama administration on banking regulation. So on page 83, it says that the Financial Stability Board will be strengthened, and it's something that the G20 agreed to in April. The G20 are 20 countries, you know, the banking parts of those countries. So it's the heads of the private central banks for those countries and their treasurers and so forth. So Obama signed it, President Obama signed it along with everybody else there in London. And it is very obscure what it is we signed on to, but it, in 1999, when this thing was first instituted, it was called the Financial Stability Forum, and it was merely an advisory board, and then it was just the G7. So it was just an advisory board on what to do about monetary issues. But now, all of a sudden, it's something we've agreed to comply with. So we're going to implement their rules, and we've agreed to that. So if you look, you have to look really hard to even find out what these rules are that we just agreed to. But there were, it's the standards and codes agreed to in 1999, and these cover virtually everything that has to do with money, and some things that don't have to do with money. For instance, the structure and function of government, they're going to be able to look, and that they want enough transparency that they can see what's going on in all these different countries' banking systems, but they want it for the purpose of determining that it's a sound governmental structure. Well, what if they decide it's not? Does that mean they have the power to go in like the International Monetary Fund did and destroy all these countries? Cause them to redo their whole structure, like cut back on services and privatize their public industries in order to pay off their creditors, who would be the big banks, who are obviously running the show here. Basically, we've handed over our government to a private banking cartel, and very quietly, without anybody really realizing what went on, and that's why I've was trying to publicize that, because we should look very closely. Congress should look closely. Really, technically, that's a treaty which Congress is supposed to vote on, and it requires if it's determined to be a treaty, you need 2/3 vote of the Senate. Well, that would be pretty hard to get, and at the very least, they'd be talking about it. But that's the thing. Right now, they're not even talking about it. Or if it's one of these, you can get that sort of agreement passed by something called a presidential congressional order, but even for that you need a majority vote in Congress, and again they'd at least be talking about it. So that's why I think it's important to get out there that we know what it is we've just walked into.
A lot of stuff going on. What else is also in the news, Ellen, in terms of the
other
thing, the economy? Go ahead.
The other thing is right here in California. Governor Schwarzenegger is now paying with IOUs. I mean, we are broke in this state, and for good reason. The legislature is, between a rock and a hard place. I mean, they actually are stuck because they've actually slashed services about as low as they can go. They've cut a lot, and they've actually raised taxes to the limit that the taxpayers are willing to put up with. So they've actually done what they could. It's not like anybody's being irresponsible here. They just don't have the money. They don't have the credit. And that is because of a banking flaw. All of our money comes from banks in the form of loans. And when there's a credit freeze, there aren't as many loans out there. And when there aren't as many loans, there's not as much money out there because all of our money is debt. That's the nature of our monetary system. So when there's not as much money, then the money isn't there to pay workers, and then the workers don't have the money to buy the consumer goods, and then it's that spiral of deflation, but depression. Depressions are always caused by a lack of money. It's when the money supply shrinks that causes a depression. That's that whole business cycle that's gone on for hundreds of years. And there is a way out of it, and the way out is more credit. And where do we get the credit? Since the banks are frozen, my recommendation is California should set up its own bank. There's one state in the country that does that. That's North Dakota. They own their own bank, Bank of North Dakota. They're one of only three states that are solvent. They're not only able to meet their budget, but they actually have the biggest surplus they've ever had. They make 1% loans to startup farmers. They have lots of money for student loans. They partner with the other banks, so they rarely foreclose on mortgages. They can work it out because they've got the money to do it, which merely means that they have the credit to do it. They have their own credit facility, and every state could do that and should do that.
Where do you see, well, there are many parts of Northern California, Alan, that are already doing this, that already have their local currency set up. No matter how bad the economy gets, people are going to be eating really, really good in some parts of Northern California. Some people during the crash are going to do really well. But that aside, in terms of people living in the cities, and I don't think this crash is by accident. I think Schwarzenegger is there for a reason, too. We got a break coming up here. What do you see here on the timeline? Because I'm up here in Portland, and I'm expecting a lot of people from California next couple days to weeks, migrating up here. I mean, it's been happening for a long time, but it's going to escalate when it becomes no longer livable in some parts of, L.A., for example.
Well, it would be very handy to live in a community that actually grew its own food and that had its own source of water. That living in the city is quite perilous, because what happens when they turn off the electricity? Where are we going to get it? We don't have any. Where are we going to get our water when they turn off the taps? We don't have any big lakes that we can go and stick our pails into.
Well, you live in Southern California. Where would you, if you had the choice to go or have all the money that you needed, where would you feel safe?
I personally am going down with the ship.
Well, I might go down with the ship here in Portland, Oregon, too. Actually, I want to hear more of your thoughts on this. We'll be back in a few days.
I understand the mentality.
Ellen Brown is our guest, ellenbrown.com. Stay with us all.
Hey, if Gerald Celente wasn't right so many times, he'd be dismissed as another doom and gloom crackpot. But he has been right, and he has predicted correctly many, many times.
Americans are going to be taking a hit like they've never seen before. All these people that have their McMansions that are, like $14 trillion worth of consumer debt.
Right.
And people are losing their jobs every day. America's going to really go through a transition, the likes of which no one's prepared for. What the governments are going to do is they're going to try to squeeze more money out of the average person. We're seeing it with virtually every city, every state. They're raising taxes on the people.
Right.
They're raising school taxes, property taxes. We're going to start. The government has to cut back. Government has to shrink. They can't.
So, Alan, what do you think is going to be happening with California? I mean, where's the money going to come from? If the federal government can't even bail them out. I mean, I know he wants to sell the parks, but I mean, it's like, go ahead.
Well, I think they're correct not to do any more cutting either way. They shouldn't raise taxes, and they shouldn't be selling off or getting rid of more services or selling off properties. The solution is to create their own credit. This all started with a credit crisis in 2007 when the banks had to revalue their books. There was a change of accounting rules, and that's what brought on the whole collapse. I mean, I realized there was all this stuff going on in the housing market, but what literally the stock market, the Dow, hit its all-time high in October of 2007. In November of 2007, they imposed the mark-to-market rule, which is the rule that said that they had to revalue all these dodgy assets that they were. They said they didn't really know what the value of, it's like collateralized debt obligations. They had to revalue them according to what they would fetch in the market today. Well, the argument of the banks is we weren't going to sell them today. We're still collecting income on them. They may have lost their market value, but they're still valuable to us because they still cover mortgages and the mortgages are paying. But they were required to revalue their books because of a rule set in Basel, Switzerland. I mean, it was imposed by a foreign power. It's true, our banking financial accounting board picked it up, but why? Who pressured them to pick it up, and why did we go along with it? Anyway, the rule itself was set in 2004, the Basel II Accords. So it was because of these changes in accounting rules that the banks suddenly had to cut off their credit. And so there was a sudden lack of credit, and it was all downhill from there. We just spiraled downward. So if you count back like 4 years ago, California was just fine. True, it was a big bubble, a housing bubble that couldn't last. But the point is, we have all the stuff we need here. We have the resources. We have the people. It's just a matter of, you've got 20% real employment in the country now. If you could put all those people back to work building things that we need, it would work. What's missing is the money, the liquidity, the money to do it. Well, look, money is only credit. All of our money today is credit. It all consists of loans from banks. And if the banks aren't lending, California should have its own bank and just start lending. Lending what? Just lending credit. That's what all loans are. Every single bank, every time it makes a loan, merely writes that money on its books. It merely writes up credits, a liability to itself on one side of its books, and it puts that money in the account of the borrower on the other side of its books. The borrower writes checks, and the banks all shift these numbers around among themselves, and every once in a while somebody asks for real paper dollars. And so that's what that 10% reserve requirement is. They keep enough paper dollars around just for those people who come in and want to, in order to make it look like they're really giving them some real money, they keep this actual cash around. But all those loans are merely liabilities on the books of banks. And there's no reason that California or any other state or the U.S. government could not do the very same thing, set up its own credit system. It's the full faith and credit of the United States. That's the only thing that backs our dollar today. The United States itself could issue credit in the very same way. So that here's how it's done. You say, we're going to build something. We're going to build a dam. I know they don't build dams anymore, but let's say they were going to build a dam. And you write up the cost of the dam on one side of your books, and you act like the dam is already built. It's called accrual accounting, or you count that asset as if it already exists, and that's the thing you're going to monetize or put up as collateral. Then you figure out what it's going to cost, workers and materials. So then you draw on that account, pay off the workers and materials, build the thing, and then it generates electricity. You charge fees for the electricity, and the money you make from the project goes back to pay off the loan. So you didn't need a pot of money off here at the side. You didn't have to find somebody with gold, which was how it was in the old days, and you didn't have to find somebody like savers, as they say, somebody that saved up this money before you borrow it. You don't need the money. Is only credit. It's the credit of the people saying, we acknowledge that you have done a service to the community. We're going to allow you to spend an equivalent value in the community, and then we're going to pay back that loan from the thing that you contributed to the community, the thing you built that will generate profits.
All this is very important. I mean, we should be preparing to create local currencies. I mean, even local, real neighborhood watch groups, not just ones that call 911. That's what a lot of them are set up to be. But, I mean, in terms of all this stuff, yeah, we need to be doing this all over the nation. But do you see the state taking steps? Have you identified any evidence that indicates the state is interested in relocalizing the economy or having their own state bank?
Nobody in a real position of power, but a lot of people write to me and a lot of people are interested. And it seems to me that I just keep putting this idea out there. We do not have to raise taxes and we do not have to cut services. There's a third way, and that is that money itself is only credit, and the state is perfectly good credit risk. They can put up their own credit for all these things. You know, I mean, that's essentially what Governor Schwarzenegger is doing. He's paying with IOUs. There's just one problem with that. IOUs are not constitutional. There's a provision in the Constitution that says no state shall issue bills of credit, and technically that's what it is. I mean, nobody seems to be calling it that. But here's the thing. You don't have to call it IOUs. You can call it dollars if you set up your own bank, because a bank is allowed to issue 10 times as many loans as it has deposits. So you take all your revenues. The state's revenues are like $128 billion this year. Put all that money into a bank. I know they come and go, but technically, theoretically, if you had all $128 billion at once, you could make $1.28 trillion in loans. So you now have 10 times as much money as you had. I mean, technically you have to pay that money back, but first of all, it's your bank, so you don't have to pay interest. I mean, you do pay the interest, but you keep it. You get to keep it in the end. So that's what they do in North Dakota. All that extra interest goes back to the state. It's a big source of revenue for the state. So that's one thing. You don't have to pay interest. Another thing is you can fund all these projects that are self-funding, like alternative energy, low-cost housing, things that will actually produce a fee in return. I mean, here we're selling off all our fee-generating things. We're selling off our parking meters. Well, those things pay for themselves. They generate fees. Those are the types of things the state should be hanging on to.
Seems like that's the theme, foreign ownership over critical U.S. infrastructure. I just want to read this headline real quick. Bigger than Russia, Brazil, Canada, India, or Spain is about to default. That is how they are describing the state of California, noting that their GDP was around $1.8 trillion in 2007, given that California has more people than any other state in the U.S., and some of the largest agricultural, manufacturing, high-tech, and defense sectors in the nation, you would think that helping California would be important, and yet, instead of helping California, the federal government is giving aid to the big banks. But I understand what you're saying, Alan, in terms of planting seeds and at least getting this idea out there. Even if the state has been hijacked by special interests, there definitely needs to be a re-education process so people know that we don't have to go through a chaotic situation. There are other options.
Mm-hmm. And even the special interests, I mean, it's a parasitic system, and you can't get blood out of a stone. It would be good for those interests, too. Even the banks would be helped by a credit system generated by California itself. In North Dakota, those banks are helped by the Bank of North Dakota.
Well, Ellen, many people believe that that's going to lead to the North American Union, that they're engineering this to, in the long term, be good for those special interests. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I agree. There's a definite intentional element here, but how do we fight it? That's the thing. We don't have to succumb to that ruse. That's what happened to Russia, or all those Russian countries when Russia fell apart in 1989, and they all were suddenly privatized, and they bought into it. They thought that if they allowed all these assets to be sold off to pay their loans, that things would then be better. Well, we can't buy into it. We must be alert. Know that we don't want this system. We don't want their sale of our assets.
We'll be back in a few. Here's a headline for you guys to check out during the break. Google it. NAFTA Superhighway returns from the dead. Check it out. New report. Back in a few.
Exploring the Matrix of Consciousness with Esoteric Action Radio. Sundays from 9 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Only on the Aurora Broadcasting.
Trying to get a message through. Going first thing
it's not just a highway to hell. It's a highway from hell. We're talking about the NAFTA superhighway returning from the dead. Rick Perry said that the whole plan for the NAU highway run from Mexico to Canada, the heartland of the United States, was dead. That was a lie. He's lobbying right now to deregulate even more. Using the cover of a special session of the legislature, Perry will push a measure that allows private companies to build more toll roads across the state, according to the Houston Chronicle. He wants to get the legislature to reauthorize through 2013 the ability of Texas to enter into comprehensive development agencies, or CDAs, with foreign developers to develop Texas highways under public-private partnerships. Alan, your thought on this new revelation?
Well, I'm not surprised that they're still trying. And that's what I think this whole financial stability board, there's definitely this push to consolidate into a few currencies, into a few regions, and then ultimately into one currency, I think, which, you know, recently they've come out with the special drawing rights, or the IMF will be issuing these special drawing rights that countries can borrow. Well, this is a new currency. It's like the global currency. Right now it's supposedly backed by several large currencies, but they've set the pattern here for a new currency, a new global currency that will be issued privately, issued by some central bank somewhere, probably the Bank for International Settlements, which is the private head of the private central banking system. So that's what the banking...
And did you say before these were Nazi bankers?
The Bank for International Settlements, we wouldn't join originally because they were Hitler's bankers, and they had laundered, they were established by Hitler's bankers who had laundered gold for the Nazis. But eventually we did join, but it was highly controversial, the Bank for International Settlements. And Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor at Georgetown University and wrote this 900-page book called Tragedy and Hope, he said that the goal of the international bankers, as he called them, for a couple hundred years has been to control the countries of the world through their money systems. In other words, by issuing the money, it goes back to that old quote of Amschel Rothschild, allow me to issue and control a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. And according to Carol Quigley, the head of this whole private banking beast was to be the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. And there they are now suddenly taking charge of everything. They are the head, where it's all gravitating, but everybody's forgotten all those bad things. The two things they've done that you can point to as causing this current collapse are Basel I and Basel II. There are two accords. Basel I imposed capital requirements on the banks, and it actually literally brought down the Japanese banks, which before that were doing quite well. But Basel I required them to have more capital than they had in order to make loans, and so they had to call in loans, and they couldn't make as many loans as they had, and it precipitated a depression in Japan that they still haven't recovered from. And Basel II, which is basically the mark-to-market rule, or that the mark-to-market rule is a manifestation of Basel II anyway, is what precipitated the crisis here in the U.S. So now they're going to have control over things like capital requirements. I would argue a public bank should have no capital requirements, because basically capital, what you need this fund for sitting over here is if you're pretending to be lending money you don't really have, which is what banks do. If you were a public bank and you're lending the full faith and credit of the United States, you can't run out of your own credit. That's all money is a credit of the public. You are the public. So you don't need a fund of credit sitting over here in order to lend other credit. You just issue credit based on the creditworthiness of the borrower and not on how much of this thing that you're supposedly lending that you've accumulated. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Every borrower who walks in who is creditworthy, you make a loan to. And because they put something up, they put up their house, they put up some sort of collateral that you can collect on in case they don't pay. It maybe it's their future earnings, but they put up something. And to cover for those few who don't pay, you charge some interest. So you do have this accumulated fund over here to balance the books with. But anyway, because they're going to have the power to set all these rules globally, privately, they can change the rules whenever they want. If they change if they suddenly change the reserve requirement from 10% to 20% or the capital requirement, no bank anywhere would have the money to make their loans, and they could shut the whole world down. I mean, they just would have the power to regulate or to manipulate whatever they wanted. They can manipulate different countries and cause their currencies to collapse.
And very could be on the way to that. It's definitely... Ellen, we have about 3 more minutes with you. We'll have you on again in about a month if you can do it, and we'll go over the updates then on what happens between now and then. What would you like to take us out with? Things to be looking at, things to be aware of, you know.
Well, things are not what they seem, as usual. What's up is down, and what's down is up. The one good sign I see in what the Federal Reserve is doing is they've been buying long-term government bonds. I think that's a good thing because the Federal Reserve rebates the interest after they deduct their costs. So the U.S. government is getting money generated by the Federal Reserve, in other words, creating on their books, money created out of nothing. They're getting it for under 0.5% interest because they get the interest back. And so that's the cheapest way we can fund our debt. And because it's our own captive central bank, we can roll those loans over indefinitely. I mean, that's what they do with the federal debt anyway. They always roll it over, but they have to then find some more money to refinance it with, basically. So that's why the Chinese, you know, are getting nervous. And if you have foreign lenders, they can make demands on you and have leverage. But if it's your own captive central bank that's lending to you at 0.5% interest, you've got no problems. You can now generate, it's basically the same as printing greenbacks with which is what Lincoln did. Everybody thinks this is inflationary, but right now we are in a huge deflation. $10 trillion just disappeared from the books of U.S. banks because the shadow lenders went away. All those investors that used to buy bundled up mortgages called collateralized debt obligations and other forms of securitized debt, they would buy it from the banks, and then the banks could make yet more loans and more loans. Well, those shadow lenders have gone away, and they were responsible for $10 trillion worth of the mortgage market. So there's this giant hole in our money supply. So it's good that the Federal Reserve is printing money. It's good when they're printing money and giving it to the U.S. government. It's not good when they're printing money and giving it to the banks to clean up their derivatives, which are another black hole that cannot be filled by printing money. I mean, that alternative will not work and should not be pursued. But funding our own debt is a great idea.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and good luck in this next month. We definitely got to get you on for an update in a month. Good luck going down with the ship. Yeah. Hopefully you won't have to go down. Hopefully you can get yourself a lifeboat or a couple of them.
Yeah. Well, I live with my mother in a retirement village. This is my form of excitement.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's a lot to deal with. You know, for a lot of the elderly, seeing their country implode in on itself is very hard for them to deal with. And I've talked to people that work in those environments, and what's going on is very hard for them. And so at least everybody send them your prayers in your own free space and time, in your own heart. There are a lot of people out there hurting. Ellen, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Goodbye and take care, and we will be back in just a few. All right, welcome back to Hour 2. I get so sidetracked, you know, I left my phone at the park, my cell phone. And somebody just called me. Thank God. They called. I don't know how they were able to find the phone. Or get a hold of me. I'm not really sure how that worked out. Kind of odd, but I think my roommates called my phone, and then someone's like, "Hello? No, I actually just found the phone." So that's kind of embarrassing. But anyway, I would love to talk to any of the listeners at 866-841-1065. Continue covering the news here. Continue to talk about what's manifesting the news, not only things that could be perceived as tragedies, but new concepts, new ideas, technological breakthroughs that help us, assist us, alter our view of our world into something better, to evolve it, to take it to another level, our understanding of reality. This is a headline from the Telegraph. "You can really smell fear," claims scientists, who also claim being terrified is contagious. Now, I have another article on my site that talks about happiness being contagious. So, you know, you look at fear being contagious, scientific study. Happiness being contagious, scientific study. What does this tell us? When the elite manufacture events like 9/11, stage inside jobs like this, they are trying to manufacture fear. A lot of people get confused, though, and they think that this is the fear-mongering. By trying to point out what's wrong is the fear. Now, you don't have to respond with fear. Actually, how you respond to the stuff that I'm talking about, that's your own particular issue. That's your own particular... I'm not saying I'm perfect. I can definitely recognize things that need to be improved upon, if you know what I'm saying. But you don't have to respond that way. And if you think, and a lot of people do, that you can only respond with fear when looking at certain things, that you can't be objective on a emotional level, then you need to take a closer look at something that I call emotional maturity. And you have to be willing to look at things about our world, our planet, our country, our state, our cities, our neighborhoods, ourselves. And there might be things that we see that we don't like that shouldn't stop us from going the distance and taking a real close look at what's going down. Now, News with Views has got this report. Homeland Security and U.S. Army plan invasion of states. It's kind of an update. I haven't talked about this stuff in some time. The Pentagon and Department of Homeland Security recently hosted a teleconference for law enforcement agencies and associations such as the National Association of Chiefs of Police to discuss the Obama administration's interest in using the military during emergencies. Fortunately, NewsWithViews.com had exclusive access to the discussion and the explanations by Homeland Security and Defense Department officials. Officials announced during the teleconference that the Department of Homeland Security's FEMA administrator met with a commander, U.S. Northern Command, to discuss pre-disaster planning, response, and recovery in support of the federal response to the 2009 hurricane season. And on it goes. That's the pretext to invade multiple states under the pretext of, protecting for your own safety, of course. Back in a few.
And God knows now he's been the most ignorant among this nation on families waking up to the fact that the whole thing is corrupt. And if we understand that government is corrupt, banks are corrupt, our law enforcement are corrupt, and it's become a way of life, soon it will be for America a way of death.
Pickles, life to the infinite, death to the images, blind nose and mimic it, mind, soul, and physical, twist pen in my lyrical trinity, glib pyramid, bliss to the ignorant, fist to the government, put fists on the internet, reading scripts, get my fingers wet, Constantine smoking cigarettes, get analog heads to Bob Digitech, cable trying to tell us a vision, Satan and Egyptian is set, you listening yet? Spit a hex, make the devil find bliss in his death, religion's a mess, God's unrisen, an astrological text, its direction extends.
Now, I'm going to go back to that article and actually go into the real concerns about it being really an invasion instead of helping you. because it notes that many law enforcement executives and organizations went on the record saying they did not appreciate the prospect of federal troops using their self-given authority to police people or going beyond the authority of local and state law enforcement agencies, or the sheriff for that matter, or the role of the National Guard. So they're not liking that. Some people like it. They love taking orders from Homeland Security. Some cops just seem to just, you know, it's all just one big system. There's no separation here. We're just playing our own little compartmentalized part. But some people are asking some pretty big questions. One New York police officer says the following quote, "My initial reaction is, why are we allowing federal troops to basically invade the sovereignty of individual states when each state has its own law enforcement agencies and each state possesses an armed and trained National Guard, and in the case of some states, such as New York, a trained militia?" According to officials from the Homeland Security Department, FEMA, and Northern Command, they share a common interest in a unified approach, disaster response, and recovery. One official said, both organizations also understand that the most effective plans to save lives and protect property begin with preparedness. But they're not very prepared to deal with the breakdown of the economy, are they? They're prepared for martial law. They're prepared for this. They're prepared for things that deal with controlling people. They're not prepared, officials, authority figures, to hold up this country without sending it spiraling into a crash. They're not prepared for that. So that's that report. And you can Google that. Homeland Security and U.S. Army plan invasion of states. And the next report is breaking right now. And it pertains to Cynthia McKinney, in prison right now in Israel, under the headline, take a look at this, Israel kidnapped Cynthia McKinney and other human rights workers, and she was trying to give aid in a boat with some other human rights workers to Gaza, and they have been abducted by Israel. She's now in Israel. She's in jail. They said they're going to be bringing her back on Sunday. I guess she's going to miss the 4th of July. But then again, with stuff like this happening, I guess there really isn't much to celebrate. Not that there was a couple years ago either. I mean, especially after 9/11. Many people bought the 9/11 law, and we went to war, a banker's war, a manufactured crisis. I mean, that even made it even more painfully obvious, the whole idea of independence from anything or any power structure is a farce. It's a ritual, just like the ritual of Bush passing Obama the baton. It's another ritual nonetheless. So that is what is taking place with Cynthia McKinney. She's not going to be watching the Chinese fireworks go off. The 4th of July kind of disgusts me. I mean, it's a time of year where we worship fire like we're barbaric animals, or like we're monkeys of some type, fascinated by shiny objects, shiny lights, fire. Arr, fire. I mean, the whole Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, it's like a time to get together under the sun, see who looks sexy in their summer outfit, run around with a Pabst Blue Ribbon or Bud Light with a cigarette in the other hand, and of course, we can never leave out the genetically modified hot dog. I mean, that's a must. That's the cornerstone of every 4th of July holiday weekend. I need a body of river right now to lie next to. But I know that I'm going to go somewhere and there's going to be 1,000 other people there or 100 other individuals there, just crapping all over the place. You know, like a bunch of crazy apes. You know, everybody walk around with their bikinis. They're just responding like a bunch of, you know, it's mating season. Everybody's horny. They want to fight. Fight or screw. One of the two. Just pick one. Flip a coin. Any coin. Well, we'll get it done. You know, humans are animals. and they forget that. But since we're so out of balance, we're not the most beautiful of animals at times. It's pretty disgusting. Back to the 4th of July, I mean, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget bullhorning. But literally a herd of humans, in this confined little space, Pioneer Courthouse Square, July 4th, 2006. They were there. They just wanted to have a good old time. You know, they just wanted to watch the World Cup on a big screen TV on a hot, sunny, scorching day like today in the upper 90s. And then here comes this brown kid. Here comes this brown-looking kid, me, Alex Ansari, with a bullhorn, talking about September 11th, 2001, the official reason why we are at war in many parts of the world, and why our country is talking about another war that could potentially send the country, likely, into total bankruptcy. But hey, it's the 4th of July. It's time for beer, bikinis, genetically modified hot dogs. Have I mentioned Chinese flags? It's like the whole thing about buying Chinese flags. They're made in China. It's like we're holding up the Chinese economy, or we're giving them a certain amount of business to hold them up every 4th of July when we buy the Chinese fireworks. It's like if only people knew their constitution's being torched. Their constitution is being torched. So, we see the National Guard, on the other hand, preparing to take on militias in another report, and another update, rather. We talked about the war games earlier that Russia is involved in. And, of course, I want to mention that Goldman Sachs is definitely on the radar. Quite a bit. There's a lot of news pertaining to them. George Salente is speaking out on cap and trade. There's some more information coming from him. When we come back, we'll go over a couple other headlines. We'll wait for your phone calls. Welcome to phone calls, 866-841-1065. Live in the next 45 minutes, I'm Alex Answer, and this is Outside the Box on a very hot, scorching Friday before the 4th of July edition of Outside the Box 2009. Stay with me.
Oh, did you see them up there? Police are getting a whole lot of calls about those black military helicopters flying over Portland this week. You might have seen them flying over your home. This is video of one spotted over the area on Monday night. The police bureau is assisting the Department of Defense with some training exercises. However, because the flights are causing so much concern, they'll now be restricted to the Jansen Beach area.
The detection of them is so extraordinary that I think it's past will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't just a crisis.
All right, now back to North Korea. They are expected to fire more missiles over the 4th of July weekend, so that's the fireworks display that I'm more focused on. Interested in finding out. I care nothing for fireworks. But I'm not here to put you down if you enjoy the simple things in life. If you enjoy getting those little bubbles at the supermarket and you like to blow into them, I'm not going to put you down. If you like to clap your hands back and forth and make seal noises, I'm not going to put you down or make fun of you. That just wouldn't be appropriate. That wouldn't be right. And so if you like to start fires in the middle of your front yard and make monkey noises and go, "Arr, fire, I create fire," you know, and make sounds like that, it's okay. I mean, whatever grounds you, I suppose, the verbiage that I'm looking for. But in terms of North Korea, they are expected to fire more missiles over the 4th of July weekend. off their east coast. The report quotes South Korean military officials as saying that the missiles, apparently surface to ship ones, were fired in the Sea of Japan between 5:20 and 9:20 p.m. Thursday night. They're reporting that they did fire some missiles on Thursday, and they're going to fire more on the 4th. I didn't know they were planning, they were shooting missiles last night, so this is new information to me. I'm also looking at this report right now. Under the headline, North Korea, impending missile launch may require United States military intervention action. This has been posted over at opednews.com. Some estimates have the missile able to reach the continental United States, not just simply Alaska and Hawaii. We've also seen reports about Obama looking to decrease the amount of spending for missile defense while increasing the amount of spending, the hundreds of billions of dollars, in Iraq and Afghanistan. If you combine the capabilities of this missile with the fact that North Korea has tested two nuclear weapons over the past 3 years, the concern becomes very serious. The UN considers it serious enough to ban all weapons exports from the DPRK. To make matters worse, the North Koreans have threatened to shower the United States with a nuclear fire if attacked. A merciless attack, as they describe. And again, and again, and again, and again. It's not about being afraid of North Korea when you begin to find out who gave them some of their weaponry, some of the toys, some of the technologies that they are working with today. Came across a report last night about Kim Jong-il's son meeting with the CCP. I should probably get into some details. I'm working on bringing up that article right now. And when we have that article up, I will go into it. Then I'm going to talk about the magnetic field. You know, I like to talk about the shift in that, the scientific evidence that shows how that can affect our minds, our planet. Here's a report here. It says Russians order flight change after magnetic shifts. But before I start reading into that, I'm going to cover that other report. Okay. Kim's son in secret military meeting with China. The headline for the Financial Times is North Korean bright leader visits China. The son and heir, apparent North Korea leader Kim Jong-il, joined a delegation of senior military officials for a top-secret week-long visit to China in mid-June, in spite of Beijing's claims that no such trip occurred. So there's denial about this. That is how we know it's a secret meeting. They're saying, oh, no, it didn't happen. No, there ain't nothing going on here. Ain't nothing but a G-thing, baby. It's all fine in the Asian hood. Just keep looking the other way. The visit was intended to shore up support for the inexperienced Kim Jong-un. I guess we might want to get familiar with this new propped-up dictator, another new pawn of the globalists. Oh, by the way, did you know that Kim Jong-un? I got this report somewhere else. Might have came out years ago. Kim Jong-un. He was educated in multiple languages in Switzerland. A lot of people don't know that. And he went there under a pseudonym, but people made sure that that took place, that was able to happen. People in power. I mean, you would think that they would know about this. They would be able to, if there's some sort of a real war going on to a certain degree between North Korea and the United States and some of these other countries, that perhaps they would have known about it through their satellite tracking system. I mean, we're all tracked and traced, and the whole thing is global. Ever heard of Google Earth? I mean, if we have access, if you and I have access to what they show us is technologically available, I mean, what do you think the government has? Oh, they're just going to make a mistake. The boy has been Western educated. The boy was supposed to get his education in Switzerland. Of all places on the planet, Switzerland. Ask yourself the question, is Alex Ansari really crazy by fusing together different pieces of data and asking the question? I mean, is it really now, at this point in the game, really that out there to see them as a plant? Now, the sun is now 26, and they admit he's Swiss educated here in this Financial Times report as well. You don't see anybody questioning that. He has apparently been given the title Bright Leader, following a tradition in which his father is known as the Deer Leader. So we're going to go from Deer Leader to Bright Leader. And his grandfather, Kim Il-sung, late founder of the totalitarian Stalinist state, is referred to as the Great Leader. Okay, so this is what we are seeing now in terms of all of that. There are some other things going on as well that definitely need to be discussed in terms of the local level, weather modification, war game drills, the job loss ratio, things of that nature. We'll be talking Wednesday, actually, with Freeman about NASA's plan to actually physically bomb the moon. And that particular interview discussion is going to be highly interdimensional in nature. Freeman definitely likes to go truly in his own way outside the box. And so it's going to be entertaining at the very least, but also educational. We'll be back and we'll cover some other reports. UK violent crime capital of Europe. ExxonMobil funds climate change doubter groups. And many more. Marines deploy on major Afghan mission. Yeah, all that and more, my friends. Back in just a few. Stay with me.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So it's definitely on the bull through the streets of Portland, Oregon, again. So I'm looking to get the driver for that so we can film it. I can't drive it and film it and bullhorn at the same time, so I'm looking at who might be available. It might be that no one's available and everybody's having fun eating the Armor Hammer hot dogs. Run around saying they're relaxing while they're actually poisoning their body. But, no, for me, having fun would be doing that on the 4th of July. That is how I would celebrate Independence Day. I recommend you celebrate Independence Day by really standing up for the country. And you celebrate and you get drunk and you fall over yourself on the other days, of the year. On the 4th of July, regardless of what you think about the Founding Fathers, regardless of what you think about, you know, the problems with our country, regardless of what you think about, you know, even the Constitution itself being a farce, it at least represents something to a lot of people. It's at least supposed to at least mean independence and that we are separate from the control of Britain. And the opposite is the case. It's a great day to educate people. I mean, we're run by European banks. I mean, we have given up our sovereignty willingly the people that voted for Obama, especially, and Bush, not the mainstream politicians, on the local level and on the national level. They have willfully given away their sovereignty because it's just too fun partying. I mean, the party. I tried to explain this to my mom last night, someone that cannot understand what I'm saying and cannot emotionally manage to listen to 5 seconds of a show like this because of how it makes you feel. It smashes those illusions about spacecrafts coming down to rapture us up one day. And boy, do I offend those people that believe that stuff. And I never said I had it all figured out. Maybe the aliens are coming to save us. For some reason, though, I'm not going to bet on it. I'm not going to put my chips in that corner. It's the end of the hour. It's the last inning. It's the last quarter. This is where things get serious. Or we can no longer just hope that it's all just going to be fine. We have to take the future into our own hands. That's why the number one website that I have to recommend at this time for you to check out is survivalcenter.com if you want to get prepared and not maintain that feeling of being scared and afraid and not being able to deal with challenges in the future, a shot from North Korea, an economic meltdown, riots in the streets, empty supermarkets. I mean, for those of you that listen to the show that are already off the grid, somewhat, but still accessing the internet, you know what I'm talking about. The power of having your own chickens, that feeling of power and preparedness and strength from knowing where your food came from, that power of being able to live with no money. I mean, there is a feeling of power that comes through that type of lifestyle, knowing that no matter what they try to engineer, you're going to be okay. Your survival will not be toyed with. So in fact, it's the opposite of being stuck in the reptilian brain or the base brain. Because by being prepared, by taking care of yourself, you can have peace of mind and actually pull out of that fear-based reptilian brain by doing what you want to do with the ultimate commodity, which is time. I mean, a whole new world opens up. And so it's really, as I said before, all specifically, truly specifically, in how you choose through your own free will and volition to view the nature of reality or the nature of what's actually taking place. It's about the point of observation, or as some might say, the point of expression, how you express how you feel about reality and what's going on, or if you even do so. You know, it seems to me a whole lot of people out there say when I tell them, you know, it's stressful talking to people about this stuff because they are unaccepting of, you know, the information, and it shatters their belief systems. And I go, well, just be yourself. And I am being myself. How can you tell me to be myself? A lot of people say be yourself, but they don't really mean it. They say it as a knee-jerk reaction. They say it as a cliche thing. Something that people are used to saying, kind of like, how you doing? They say, how you doing, but they don't really mean it. Quite a few people are like that. It's pretty disgusting. But it's the same thing people say, just be yourself, when you try to express frustration with other people that are choosing to maintain a very narrow outlook that's like trying to look at the universe through the lens of a McDonald's straw. Now, I want to get back to North Korea, and there is an update here, also another one that I found, and it could be propaganda to, as I said before, get us focused on something completely distractionary, or it could be the real thing. I mean, you can go either way with this, but the reality is, technologically, they're claiming that it's not 4,000 miles or 5,000 miles, the range that the Tapadong 2 missile can go. Now it's 9,300 miles and can reach as far as the U.S. mainland. I mean, that's what we're seeing now. I'm looking at charts now showing literally a beeline, ironically, between North Korea and what appears to be Portland, Oregon, or the middle of the state of Oregon, or Idaho, that area. I mean, you're seeing the whole continent, but you're seeing this whole near line being drawn. And they've done a number of tests, and the United States is claiming they don't know how capable North Korea is at first. And so they did one test, and they analyzed it. Okay, they're at this level. They did another test, they analyzed it. They go, oh, yeah, they're at this level. And it's like most people aren't tracking this and watching how quickly this is developing. So a lot of this is coming as a surprise. Looking at some other pieces of info as well, in addition to the war games taking place, the martial law drills, California and their budget. We see this one. America is vulnerable to a EMP, electromagnetic pulse attack. We've seen many reports like this. So we're going to go ahead and go into this. And this is what North Korea and China could easily cause. The damage they could easily cause the United States with the technology that has been given to them by people like Donald Rumsfeld and others. So the headline that appeared in humanevents.com is America vulnerable to an EMP. If a small atomic bomb were to explode above Chicago, it could fry all the electronically based technology from Chicago to Dallas, affecting the infrastructure of all the major cities on the East Coast and as far as South Dakota. This is why your old 70s pickup trucks are very valuable. This is why preparing, going to survivalcenter.com, getting grains, getting a handmill, getting a water filter. This is why these items are vital to your survival in the new millennium, just like these headlines. I mean, what I'm trying to do is take you ahead of the curve. And then by giving you some info, you might find some additional info on your own time that you might decide to send back to me, because I might not see stuff that you're looking at. That's why I mention my email every now and then, alex_ansari@hotmail.com. Some of the listeners, some of the viewers of this show, I mean, come up with some truly, truly amazing things. So I want to thank all of you out there for the information and, of course, the donations that you've given to the show to keep this running. And so I am doing this full time. You can make a donation if you can. It is well appreciated. The website is alexansari.com. We have a chip-in banner there. And so hopefully you will be able to make a contribution or give Richard a call over at survivalcenter.com and take a look at some of their items that they have available, some of their sales. Their six-month food supply is pretty decent. They sell a lot of Mountain House, a lot of number 10 cans, dehydrated food. They also sell some equipment to dehydrate your own food as well. So very important information, books, DVDs, like I said, equipment, meals, water filters, dehydrated food, even supplements, even stuff for your backpack. It's all there at survivalcenter.com. Just tell them Alex sent you. The other Alex. Alex Ansari, that is. Leave Jones out of it. All right. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. One more segment. Open lines at 866-841-1065.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
Now, this is the greatest show on radio because Paya is on the show.
I know.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
Couple more brief updates, and then I'm going to read a portion. small portion from David Icke's Guide to the Global Conspiracy and How to End It. It's like from the last couple pages of the book. It's from chapter The Shift. But here are the headline updates. North Korea criticizes U.S. missile defense for Hawaii, saying that the United States is going to attempt to launch a preemptive strike on the North Korean Republic. That's according to their propaganda. The news pieces and front men of their mainstream media, but it could also be true as well. This is what they are saying and claiming. Here's another one, world exclusive. NASA finds missing moon landing tapes. Yet, why should I believe NASA? A number of earthquakes have taken place. 3.7 quake rattles western Washington. Strong earthquake rattles Greece. Maui quakes strongest to hit in years. Earthquake shakes Honduras. No report. Wait. Honduras. There's something else going on in Honduras right now. Honduras. I read another report about the United States canceling military drills with Honduras over the situation in their country. We see in this headline here, video shows Honduran troops shooting protesters, bus tires. Definitely a lot of change taking place in Honduras. Again, U.S. limits contact with their military. But we'll be covering more of this stuff on Monday and Tuesday, and Freeman will be with us Wednesday, and we'll have some other guests as well. And if you have any guest suggestions, the email, of course, is alex_answer@hotmail.com. You can email me there, preferably with the email address, contact information of the person you think would be great for this particular type of show. But remember, a lot of people, some people are only going on Coast to Coast AM, where they're going to be able to sell a lot of stuff. So some people don't come on these shows because their head is a little bit in the air and their time is pretty precious, more precious than what they think is worth coming on a show like this. So sometimes I'm up against that when it comes to guys like Maxwell and guys like some others. But from David Icke's book, The Guide to the Global Conspiracy and How to End It, we're going to end the next 7 minutes with this. There's different pieces of wisdom in his books, and in lots of books. It's not about him, but it's about the message. A lot of this resonates with me. I know a lot of it resonates with you. This subchapter is called Cry Freedom, noting that there are practical steps we can take by changing our attitudes, and this can be done in an instant. We need to be passionate about freedom and justice, which apply to everyone or to no one. If a single person is not free, there is no freedom, because freedom cannot be divided into haves and have-nots. You can't be a little free individually and collectively any more than you can be a little pregnant. We either have freedom or we don't, and at the moment, we don't, because we refuse to express what is ours. Freedom is not the gift of the dark suits or the military uniforms. It is our natural state, our infinite and eternal right. He goes on, the manipulators have sought to take it from us, but we don't have to fight for its return because it has never gone away. Now, for those of you that have read anything about Buddhism, enlightenment isn't about getting something or attaining something, but more about removing the defilements or the illusions or the things that are layered up on top that you need to get rid of. Going back to his writing, we are still free. And as infinite awareness always will be, the problem is that we have ceased to express that freedom and allow others to do so. Those who are knowingly behind the conspiracy cannot control 6 billion people by themselves, and they have to manipulate the population to control each other. They do this through their uniform puppets who daily impose the very Orwellian society that their own children will have to live in. They do it through their propaganda ministry, the mainstream media, staffed by so many intellectual prostitutes who are selling the system, again, that has them and their children in its sights, and they do it through their armed forces who kill people they have never met and know nothing about. On the say-so of some tosser in a dark suit who would shite his pants at the very thought of going where he is sending others. As a result of this pawnography, these puppets advance the day when their own families and children will be microchip zombies of the state, when the uniforms, soldiers, and journalists have the insight and foresight to rebel and refuse to be tools of their fascist masters, we will see how little power the elite really have. Their power is merely the power that humans give to them every day. Yes, sir, no, sir, anything you say, sir. And I might add, when they ask us to jump, you respond on autopilot, how high? When they ask us to bend over, we ask, how far shall we spread our you-know-what? If those journalists at Fox News and elsewhere stop complaining about censorship and bias and just walked out the door or collectively went on strike until the bias ended, the news fixers would be exposed, and if enough people did it, the mainstream media would be unable to function. The media hacks don't do this because of a mixture of ignorance of how they are being used and the reoccurring question that always sounds the death knell for freedom. How would it affect me? If police officers refuse to enforce laws designed only to construct a dictatorship, the politicians and shadow people would have no means to impose their will on the population. It is pathetic to watch police officers acting as bagmen for dictators who want to make the lives of their children and grandchildren a microchipped misery. So this is just a small portion of what he has written in this last chapter. I'll conclude with this. The fascist global state will not just apply to one party, race, or religion, but to all of them. The technique is to demonize one religion or group by turning other religions, groups, and people against it. When that has been destroyed, they do the same with another, until all of them have been picked off. And as the old saying goes, first they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for me, and there's no one left to speak out for me. So the point is, we need to care about the freedom of others as much as we do about our own. Injustice is injustice, no matter what form it takes or who it affects. And we have a situation here, as he writes, and we know, with over 6 billion people in the world, it is not physically possible to control that many people, even with their technologies, unless you have managed to socially engineer society in such a way to where the people war with each other and direct their energy that way. And that's what we've got to stop. Don't listen to voices that need to just breathe and relax and forget about this stuff going on. Don't listen to those intimidating voices that tell you, just be yourself, ignoring that you are being yourself by trying to warn the tribe. Don't let others and their expectations of you and how they want you to be alter your real natural state. I mean, when it comes down to it, you do make a choice. You can try to be the cool guy, try to be the cool girl, get accepted, but you might have to prostitute some of your morals. You might have to change the essence of who you are. You can also be yourself, be who you are, be like me, but also pay the consequences. So it's a choice that you got to make, and it's a choice that I've got to make every single day when I look at myself in the mirror. Because I know that's where the solutions lie, though, in the end, is looking at myself in the mirror and asking what I can do. Because we change the world when we learn to change individually. Folks, I hope to talk with you Monday. We will be back then. Have a wonderful, safe 4th of July. Go out there and make some noise. Get a bullhorn, why don't you? Maybe I should be advertising for the bullhorn company, where I've got mine. I mean, the thing costs $35, $40. And it's now lasted me like 2 years now. And I've taken it around a lot of places. It's got to be one of the best bullhorns out there. So go make some noise. Put it on YouTube. Send it to me. I'd like to see it. Until next time, I'm Alex Yancey, reminding you the path to the ultimate truth still starts within. Have a very interesting, safe, fake-ass 4th of July. Enjoy the Chinese firecrackers.